In this edition of In the Trenches with Dave Lappin, presented by First Star Logistics, we visit with defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo. He's got a vast knowledge of the game of football, big experiences. He paid his dues, coached at a lot of places at the collegiate level and in the National Football League. He's putting together a defense that's going to be very, very multiple. It's going to be a hybrid 4-3, 3-4, be able to cause a lot of problems, run a lot of different looks by not substituting people in so doing, and it's going to cause some problems for offenses to adjust. We're going to hear him talk about a lot of his key players. Lou Anarumo, defensive coordinator, you're going to like it.
And now, Ask Dave.
Thanks for the question, T. Justin, and I don't want to steal the thunder of Lou Anarumo. He is going to discuss the secondary. I hit him with quite a few secondary members as for his evaluation. Listen up, the podcast is coming up next, and he gives a lot of good information. But I will say, I think the secondary is in much better shape. I'm very interested to see what Trey Waynes does. You know, they didn't have him last year all season long due to the pectoral injury, and he's shown himself to be exactly what they hoped that he would be when they signed him to a big contract in free agency. But they've got players from Dallas, players from Pittsburgh, players from all over the league. That means experience. They've seen a lot in the National Football League. Now it's just a matter of unlearning terminology and relearning new terminology. It's like you're speaking French, but you're in Germany. So there's only so many coverages and only so many assignments, but they call it different things, and there's different language. So that's the adjustment that's going to have to be made. And as far as the AFC North is concerned, not only recovering receivers, you have to be physical. They run the football. Cleveland has two big horses in the backfield. Pittsburgh Steelers want to run the football. They didn't do it very successfully last year. You know that's going to be a focus point this year. Pittsburgh's going to get back to running the football. And the Baltimore Ravens, you kidding me? They have the best running quarterback in the National Football League. He's as good as any running back, and they have running backs to complement him. You have to be able to play your gap control responsibility, and on the edge, you have to be good tacklers on the back end. You have to make plays in the running game and the passing game to compete in the AFC North if you're a defensive back. Welcome to our beautiful studios at First Star Logistics. You're listening to In the Trenches with Dave Lappin and watching as well. And our special guest today, defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo. And Coach, appreciate your time immensely. I know you're a busy guy. You guys just finished your OTAs and mini camps and get a little break from the action. But before we get into all that, I want to go back in the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
Tell us what kind of an athlete you were, Coach. I mean, in high school, how many sports did you play?
I was baseball and football. I was a catcher in baseball and played some quarterback. And like everybody in high school plays two position, play a little quarterback, a little safety. So it was good. It was good stuff. But played all three growing up, basketball, baseball, and football, like we all used to back then. And was just great stuff. I wish more guys or kids would do it these days instead of just logging into, you know, one sport.
Yeah.
You know, just experience everything when you're young, you know. That's my deal.
So you always were in positions like the catcher. The catcher is the maestro of the game. I mean, the catcher is the basically the quarterback of baseball, you know, really. And then you quarterbacked on the football team. So you were always in a position where knowledge and understanding of the game were as equally important as your physical assets.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, you know, baseball can be tough if you're in left field and you get, you know, the ball hit to you maybe two or three times a game, maybe.
Right.
At least there, you know, you're involved every play. And, you know, so that's what kind of drew me to that. And I just like being in the action all the time.
So you graduate from high school in Staten Island and you go to Wagner.
Wagner College, baby.
Wagner College.
Had a ton of fun there. Great school, great coaches there. Walt Hamline was the head coach he had another title. He had a lot of titles, Walt did, but he also ran the athletic department. He was great. He did. He had a big job with the NIT as well, because always had a pretty good basketball team at Wagner. So, you know, he wore a bunch of hats, but learned a ton from him.
Sounds like he was pretty much an influence on you in your formative years in terms of understanding sports and your desire to coach maybe someday.
Yeah, he definitely helped along the way for sure, along with a lot of other guys.
So you play at Wagner, and then you go back to Wagner as a running backs coach. How big of a factor or a positive is it during your coaching career? Wagner at Syracuse, Merchant Marine, Harvard, Marshall, Purdue, you know, in the collegiate level, and then with the Dolphins and the Giants, and now the Cincinnati Bengals. But you have coached special teams, you've coached offense, and you coached defense. How vitally important is that to have coaching positions on both sides of the ball and including special teams for your overall knowledge of the game and understanding of the coaching aspects of it?
I think it's invaluable. And the way I came up, you know, I didn't make much of a mark in college. I was there for preseason camp and then end up getting hurt. And then that was kind of my end of my college career. But I got right into coaching immediately. And that's really what was great about it. And like you said, you mentioned all the different things that I've done. Special teams, you're involved with every player on the team, which is great. You know, the dynamics there. Having an idea, you know, on offense of all the blocking schemes and you know, picking up all that along the way and staying in tune. I don't think that's used enough these days, where coaches go back and forth on the staff and really clinic each other. And we do a great job here at the Bengals with that. And we did it some at the Dolphins as well. And I think it's an underutilized deal, where you don't go ask if you're on offense, come ask the defensive coaches what they think about something, and vice versa. I think, you know, Frank Pollock and I spent 2 hours yesterday together going over some things. So just going back and forth about how he's looking to block this or protect that. I got 4 pages of notes off. It was great.
So that's where, when you guys were with the Dolphins together, Zach Taylor and yourself, you would do that with each other too, right? Kind of bounce ideas off of each other?
Absolutely. And you know, I vividly remember going down to Zach's office asking a number of different things. Hey, where would the quarterback look on this play or this read? And, you know, again, you sometimes as defensive guys, we're chasing ghosts that don't exist. You know, well, what happens if this happens? Well, the quarterback's never even going to look there, you know, and it's not a part of his progression. So it helps you when you can tell the players things like that. Like, you know, for example, you know, in a single high defense, high school cover three, even however you want to look at it, you know, the quarterback's never going to throw a post down the middle of the field if the safety's deep.
Right.
So they're not telling those guys to do that. So as long as the safety does his job, well, that can alleviate some of the pressure on a corner when they get a switch release route where two guys are going down the zone. Well, guess what? Quarterback's looking outside before he looks inside on that, and that can help the DBs play a little bit faster.
No question about it. While you attended Wagner, as you mentioned, you had injury and kind of curtailed the career, but you got a degree in special education. And while you were doing that, you were the head coach of the varsity football team back at your high school. I mean, had the coaching bug bitten you at that point in time?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, my high school coach, he was still there. I was actually the head coach of the JV team.
Right.
My high school coach, who I played for, Al Paterzo, was a huge influence in my career and, you know, did things the right way. And matter of fact, he got me to Syracuse as a GA, and that kind of started things. But, you know, once I was done playing, I knew, like, I was all in, and I didn't want to leave the office, and I just loved it. I didn't want to do anything else. I remember, you know, my dad saying, like, all right, you know, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I think I just want to do this, you know. And it all worked out. The special education degree, you know, was terrific. I thought I was going to be a, you know, special ed teacher and a high school coach. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do, and was able to get into college and then just keep progressing from there.
Where do you think along your path, at the collegiate level, were they all valuable, or was there one stop that was most valuable to you as you started to, you know, mold your coaching career?
No, I think every place I was at, I love the, and not just because it's me, I I just think that so many guys skip so many steps these days. And I love the way I went up. It took longer, but I learned so many different things along the way of, A, sometimes more of what not to do and then what to do. Like, you know, okay, you're coaching kids at Harvard and they're pretty darn smart, as you would think. But there's a big difference between book smart and football smart. And literally had some rocket scientists that, you know, couldn't figure out cover two from cover three, and they had issues. Just amazing, really amazing. But again, most of those guys were great, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, obviously, but I still talk to those guys all the time. The Merchant Marine guys, you know, again, what can and can't you do, and just all the way up through the process of coaching, it was invaluable to me.
You know, it seems like every coach that I speak with at every level, it's like one of the more valuable things or one of the more unforgettable things are when players come back after they've done playing and they get out into the world and they become lawyers, doctors, businessmen, whatever, as well as fathers, husbands, and all that sort of thing. And then they come back and you see the fruits of, you know, your effort in molding them at a real critical stage of their, you know, growth and development. How rewarding is that aspect of coaching?
Well, it's unbelievable. And I won't share the guy's name, but there's a story, you know, I just about a month ago, a player that I coached in college and hadn't been with him probably now since 2000, I don't know, five or six. So a long time ago. And he just called me the other day and, you know, we'll probably text or talk once a year. Then you know, he's going through a tough time in his life, and the fact that he reached out to me and wanted to bounce some ideas about life-changing decisions, you know, it just makes you feel like you made an impact on this guy's life that he trusts. And you know, 15 years later, whatever the hell it is, 10 years later, that, you know, he can reach out and feel comfortable enough to share life decisions. And I was proud and happy to do it. And while it wasn't a great conversation from what was going on in his life, but I think I helped it. And then, you know, that's why we do this, to help people.
Yeah, I can vouch for the fact that coaches had a huge impact on me. I can remember every single coach that I had and something about them in all sports from, you know, pre-high school all the way through the professional career. I mean, coaches had, if you're into sports, they're such an impact on your lives. And I love my dad, God rest his soul, he's not around anymore. But there were things that I felt like I could get better input and talk more freely and easily to coaches with than my own dad, you know. And you make those relationships, boy, they're unique, they're special.
I agree. It's again, part of the reason why I got into it and part of the reason why I still do it today. Doesn't matter, NFL player, Division III player, 1AA, it's all irrelevant to me. These guys are still young guys that can use a helping hand along the way. And some you can influence more than others. That's why, one of the big reasons why we get up every day and do what we do. You know, the X's and O's are great and all that, but at the end of the day, if you can help somebody get through a tough time, or, you know, say, hey, this is probably a better path than that path. Some listen, some don't, but, you know, you can try to help as best you can. And, you know, I'm thankful to have that opportunity every day.
You know, a guy, current player with the Bengals, that as an outsider looking in, it seems that you and Jesse Bates have started to form that unique bond, that type of relationship, and he's blossoming as a player and as a young man, obviously. I mean, he's a great kid. And I know that you've had you know, something to do with that, and he feels that as well. When he made second team All Pro and Pro Football Focus had him as the highest rated safety in the National Football League, does that make you feel, you know, kind of proud that you had something to do with Jesse Bates and his success?
Yeah, you know, I think the world of Jesse. You know, Rob Livingston has done a good job coaching him, and but yeah, I really. You know, take pride in those DBs. You know, I've done it my whole career, and you know, he's a great kid. He's working his butt off. He wants to be the best, and you know, I've been around some really good safeties in the NFL, and you know, Jesse's right up there with some of these other guys that I've been with.
Defensively, coach, here with the Bengals, you're definitely younger and you're more athletic. Obviously, that was a point of emphasis.
Yes, 100%. And you know, we felt like we needed to, just what you just said, you know, upgrade and get younger, more athletic, get some more speed, and quite honestly, get some more depth. You know, so we all hope, knock on wood, that there's no injuries, but we all realize that there's going to be. And you know, if you can provide depth, especially up in the trenches, you know, you give yourself a chance. You know, so I think we did a great job. The organization did a great job with that this offseason, both in free agency and in the draft.
Right. And boy, back-to-back seasons of it. I mean, free agency 2 years in a row, the draft 2 years in a row, you really put your bat on the ball in a lot of cases and turn the roster over quite a bit. And then the aspect that you look for is, okay, now let's get them together. You know, they come from different places, different colleges, maybe different professional teams, and, you know, may have to unlearn, relearn terminology, get used to each other and all that. And the impressive thing is during OTAs and, you know, the one day, as it turned out, of minicamp, the attendance was off the charts. And then the second part of it, you went to work. I mean, guys were in the spirit of it. You know, I mean, they just weren't checking the box and showing up. They're out there working for you. That was very impressive.
No, it was great to see. And again, it's a tribute to guys like Jesse and Sam Hubbard and the leaders of the team that, you know, got everybody there. You know, we just feel like, I mean, just imagine what we went through last year with none of this. And, you know, we had to start fresh in late July, early August. And, you know, we felt like we've built a foundation now. So when the guys come back in a month or so, you know, it won't be the first time they're hearing these things. And they've been out there and they've practiced, and you know, Mike Hilton is lined up next to Trey Waynes for the first time ever. And the good news is it happened now and not a month and a half from now. So that you can work out some of the kinks that naturally happen as you're going through practice and, hey, you know, I need to play this a certain way. And some of that was unfolded here in the spring, and we're so happy that it did. And we feel like we're building a cohesive group, and that's what's so important.
You mentioned a couple of guys, Jesse Bates, Sam Hubbard. They are developing into leaders. And in a perfect world as a coach, don't you – like to and want to have leaders at every single position group on your defense?
We would love it, you know, across the team. You know, you'd like to have an alpha male at all positions and you know, just a guy that you can go to as a coach, or, you know, the players can rally towards, as you mentioned, at every group. And, you know, we're working towards that. And I think we're well on our way. We do have a good group of guys that want to step up, be leaders. And, you know, I think that we're well on our way.
At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know,
gotta get that body right.
That's right. Yes,
sir. Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out firststarlogistics.com.
So I'm going to give you a name, probably pick, I don't know, maybe as many as a dozen players. And if you could just give a thumbnail scouting report as such, you know, talking about strengths and things that they've really improved on, something like that, that'd be great.
No problem.
Jesse Bates. Let's start with Jesse.
So I think, you know, just his tackling improved so much last year, and he's got to continue that. I want him to continue to be more vocal and more demanding on the field. Make a call, do it now, and he's getting better with that. But the more he can do there, the better it'll be. And at the end of the day, catch the ones they throw to him, and he's going to be in position more times than not. So he's certainly trending in the right direction.
Von Bell, his running mate.
Yeah, just continue to bring that physical presence that he did last year. You know, we're going to get him around the box even more this year, where he can pressure because he's good at it. He's a really good tackler, as we all see, as we all saw. Match him up in coverage in certain situations, but continue the leadership and the physicality part of the game that he brings.
Mike Hilton.
Love to see him cause as much chaos as he did with Pittsburgh, you know, blitzing him off the edge. And just his overall toughness and run fit from that nickel spot, he brings all that. And we've seen some of that, you know, so far.
So, Cheeto, I'll let you say his name, Cheeto.
Yeah, just Cheeto. He goes by Cheeto. And that's he's been, again, a really, really, really pleasant surprise. I say surprise in that, you know, he's on top of everything. And, you know, his physical skills we can all see on tape, but you don't know what you're getting until you get in the meeting room with these guys. But super smart guy, wants to do well, shows up, you know, early, stays late, all the things you want. And super excited about him.
And you mentioned Trey Waynes. You didn't have him last year, but what's he shown you in the early stages this year?
Yeah, just what we thought, you know, just the quickness, the speed, the athleticism, the fluid hips, you know, all that stuff that, you know, really good corners in this league has, and he has all those traits.
Let's go to the front end of the defense. We were talking the back end. Let's go with the up front guys. Sam Hubbard again.
You know, one of the most steadiest run guys in the league. You know, it's tight ends that really struggle blocking Sam, and that, you know, he had some great numbers there last year, but continue to improve his pass rush. He plays with great effort, does everything you ask. Love him.
Trey Hendrickson.
Very, very similar. You know, he has a dynamic edge rush to him, which we loved, but has the same passion as Sam. That'd be great. Tireless worker, tough ass. Love him.
Well, those two guys, the H boys is what I'm going to call them, I think. You know, the H brothers, the H boys, whatever. They emptied the bucket for you, Coach, don't they? I mean, man, they...
they're great.
Yeah.
Great.
Larry Ogunjobi.
You know, again, super athletic. Again, another tireless worker. But probably the best thing about Larry is he brings the coaching staff donuts on every Thursday morning.
How about that?
I'm teasing, but he's been terrific, man. Super athletic. He's going to give us some twitch inside, and you know, really, really happy with him so far.
Give me a scouting report on all the young defensive linemen that you drafted this year.
So real quick, Shelvin heading in the right direction. You know, doing the things that we want. So far, so good. Same with Joseph Asai. Really long, has explosion, good athlete. You know, again, happy with where he's at. Cam Sample has been a pleasant surprise, you know. Shows he's got good strength, going to give us some flexibility, probably the rush inside some. And so happy with where he's going. Same with Wyatt Hubert, you know, tough guy and you know, we'll do anything we ask. So I think all those guys bring a little bit different skill set, but they're going to make us better.
And then at the linebacker position, you've got three linebackers. I think year one to year two, Coach, I can attest to, from my standpoint anyway, it was like I didn't know what I didn't know necessarily year one. Year two, you start to see things a little bit differently and you can make major strides. Logan Wilson, do you expect that out of him?
I do, you know, and he's shown that so far. You know, remember, he didn't play towards the end of the season and had no spring and no training camp, preseason game. So it's really just an addition, add-on to his rookie year. This preseason will be, and this OTAs was for him. So he's taking the ball and run with it. He's done great so far, and I think the sky's the limit for that kid.
What about Davis Gaither and Bailey?
Yeah, you know, again, you know, everything's roses right now, and they're all doing what we want. We haven't put pads on, and nobody's hit anybody. But those guys have just picked up where they left off. And there's going to be a good battle there for the position next to Logan, you know, and how we play those guys along with Jermaine. And Jermaine's a tireless worker, and you know, he's another guy that nobody watches more tape than him. Nobody works harder than him. He's a great communicator. But I think all those guys are going to battle for playing time this year. Looking forward to it.
But Logan Wilson seems like he's the guy that, you know, somebody in the huddle, call the signals, get things going. Is he that type of guy?
Yeah, that's what we're training him to be, yes.
Yes, no question. What about one guy I forgot to mention, the back end, Eli Apple? What's he shown you?
Yeah, Eli's, you know, kind of what I remember from the Giants. You know,
sure.
He's come in. He's trying to learn the system. And, you know, he's done well so far, you know, so we're super excited to have him.
And during the OTAs and minicamp, Coach, you weren't bashful about installation. I mean, you threw a lot at the guys. And what's your philosophy about that, where you put it all out there and challenge them mentally and see what they retain?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we tried to get as much in front of them as possible. So, again, because of all the new guys we had, that when they come back, okay, I remember when Coach talked about this, we installed this, and so it's not totally new. But we got in the base fundamentals at each position and each technique. So, again, when they come back, you know, we're going to hit the ground running.
All right, so let's since the OTAs and minicamp ended, and now there's a little bit of a break here. We have a 5-6 week stretch where you can kind of take a deep breath, you know. Can you totally get away from football, Coach, or is that something that every day it's like, man, something hits your head?
Yeah, no, that's not happening. my wife wants it to, but I got my laptop. I got my sheets. You know, I'll be watching. We'll have breakfast with the Vikings every morning, you know, just to watch the tape and just because, you know, we have to I want to do it. We all do it. Stay ahead. I'll enjoy myself and with the family and stuff like that, but you know, it's really never ending, but I'm looking forward to it.
So you do have a like month and a half in that range, and any plans, Coach? You got any travel plans with the family? You're just going to kind of chill and relax with them? What do you get in mind?
So we'll be a little bit more just relaxing. We're about to be empty nesters. My youngest is off to college, so
wow.
We're gonna, you know, spend as much time with the kids. We go down to Jersey Shore a little bit, sometime in New York, and a few days in Florida, and before you know it, we'll be back at it. So I'm looking forward to kicking back, fishing a little bit, and just, you know, going from there. So we'll see.
Football wives are incredible women. Your wife Fran, what's your scouting report on your wife, Fran, Coach?
She's something else. First of all, I don't know how she puts up with me, but you talk about truly, and you know, but, you know, you leave your family. I tell the players all the time, we spend more time with you than we do our own families. I jokingly leave the house in the morning, and I'll say, hey, I'll see you guys in the spring. And it's kind of it's just the way it is, you know, but she has been unbelievable with them and all the moves and everything. She's handled it like a trooper. And, you know, when I get in and come home now for these 4 weeks, it's like, all right, kind of stay out of our way. We got a routine.
Right.
But no, she's great and love her to death.
Any hobbies, Coach? Anything that you can enjoy during this stretch?
I do like to fish. I like to golf. Try to get all that in. I don't mind working around the house and stuff like that. So I don't like sitting around. So I'm usually up doing something.
Oh, you're going to make all of us husbands look bad. You're a handy guy, huh? You're good.
I don't know about handy, but I mean, I try, you know what I'm saying? I try.
I hear you. So three children, Madison, Lewis, and Christopher. Any coaches?
Well, I think Chris is thinking about it. He's going to be a freshman at West Virginia. Lou, and he wants to get into coaching. He's going to be a student assistant there. My middle guy wants to get into the personnel side of it. He likes that. So, you know, he just graduated Purdue, and, you know, we're trying to get him somewhere and see if he can get something. But we'll see. But, yeah, those two, you know, they're all in on it, at least for now. We'll see how it goes.
Purdue, boy, you coached there. Now you got a
Purdue child. Yeah,
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, that's awesome. Great place.
Great place, no question. So he decided not to be an engineer, huh? He's going to be a coach instead of an engineer.
Go figure.
Well, I'll tell you, it certainly has been a good life for you. There's no question about it. No regrets on your end of things, I would assume.
No, zero. No, just a great career, and super, super excited about this upcoming season and working with great people. And, I can't say enough about the organization, the Brown family, and how everybody works together there. And, everybody in that building is pulling for us to do nothing but win football games, and that's our goal.
So let's wrap it up with a couple of things that you're trying to get done on the defensive side of the football, coach, and really enjoy you carving the time you carve for us here as you start on your relaxing part of your year. Nope. It's not that long a stretch.
No, it's all good.
If you had to pick the biggest thing you'd like to improve upon defensively, or two or three things, what's your laundry list look like, coach?
Well, number one, it starts with we have to play better run defense, and that's A1A, in terms of goals and being more physical and creating more turnovers and sacks. If we do those things, that's going to lead to better red zone defense, better third down defense, all the situational things. But got to stop the run first. We've got to create more turnovers, and we can't finish last in the league in sacks, and I know we won't this year. That all those things, if we do that, we'll be a better football team defensively.
I know teams like to be versatile and be able to implement multiple looks without substituting personnel. Like to have that position versatility and the mind to go along with it. Belichick has done it for years in New England. He's got smart players. He's got players with position versatility. And I mean, as a defensive coordinator, nothing must warm your heart more than seeing an offensive line coach over there with his lineman in a grease board, panicked, trying to trying to make adjustments. Yeah. Is that what you're trying to get done? Are you trying to have the defensive side of the football? You're going to punch them and make them counterpunch you with your versatility and multiple things you can implement.
That's what we're trying. That's always the goal, is to try to dictate to the offense and not be dictated to. And as much as we can do that, as more as we can force them to be on their heels a little bit. It's such a offensive world, as we know, with the rules and everything. But we super are striving this, especially this offseason, to go down that road of, hey, let's make sure we do more of this, or certain disguise or pressure or whatever it may be. And again, all with the goal of, like you said, to dictate and keep the offense off balance.
Final question, coach. You've been in the business a long time. Is there a player or players that stick out to you for whatever reason, be it their play on the field, be it the type of person they are, whatever it may be? Is there anybody that in the memory bank of Coach Lou Anarumo that's like, this guy's got a special place?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. There's a ton of them. I'll name just a couple.
Okay.
Because it just popped up today, like on my son's. I don't have social media, but he sends me stuff, and so. One of the top plays in Dolphin history was when Brent Grimes went up for the one-handed catch in Detroit. And, he's a special guy to me. And that play was so, unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. And, he ran over to me. I just shook my head and gave him a big hug because, not many humans can do that. And then the other one that just recently popped up, and again, I'm not trying to leave anybody out, that's why I'll just keep it to the ones that came to mind today, was I saw another thing on Instagram where Byron Leftwich, when he was being carried down the field with his broken leg, Marshall, while I was standing on the sideline freezing my ass off at the Rubber Bowl at Akron, and I'll never forget that. How could you? And I'll never forget what he said after. Here's a guy that's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft. We're playing in the Rubber Bowl in front of 200 people. It's 5 degrees out, you know, and a reporter asked him, weren't you worried about hurting your family and taking chances away from the NFL? And he goes, my family was out there on the field, and that's why I did what I did. One of the better leaders I've ever been around, and super happy with his success and happy for him.
Yeah, boy. Just
and there's a million others. There's a million others. We've got great guys here at the Bengals, too. I just, those are the two that popped out today, you know, on my what I got sent to me. So I thought that they would be worthwhile to share.
Yeah, no question about it, Coach. And Leftwich, just coming off the Super Bowl, you know, win as an offensive coordinator down there. He's in high demand. So that's good stuff. Coach, can't thank you enough.
My pleasure.
Was excellent. You've had an incredible football life. There's no doubt about it. And best of luck to you. And hopefully the Bengals defense finishes in the top five in every major statistical category that there is, and then more.
Amen. Amen. That's the goal.
All right, Coach. Enjoy your time off, and come back re-energized and ready to roll. I know you will, sir. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure.
Hi, Dave Lapham here. Have you heard about In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, presented by First Star Logistics? Catch new episodes from the world of sports and broadcasting. Search for In the Trenches with Dave Lapham on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.